if you're asking in a way that you're afraid to ask for it because you know they're frustrated, rather than with great tonality, great personality, they can smell fear. Like if you're like asking it in a way that they don't want it, they're going to push back.
This is the PMP Industry Insider Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome out to another episode of the PMP Industry Insider Podcast, where we take a look at what is changing in the pest and lawn industries, and we take it to the front lines to those that are driving those changes. As always, I'm Donnie Shelton, owner of Triangle Home Services, which has Triangle Pest as well as Triangle Lawn. And with me is Florida's most favorite resident, might I add, who moonlights in Jersey from time to time, Mr. Dan Gordon. Dan, would you like to say good morning? We are recording in the morning. Introduce our sponsors, our topic, and our very, very special guest.
Yes. So Dan Gordon, PCO Bookkeepers, M&A Specialists. We focus on pest control and lawn care with accounting and exit planning services. And announcements, please consider supporting our sponsors. If you're interested in marketing services, that's Colmarch by Workwave, colmarch.com. And if you're interested in industry-specific insurance, PestSure. We've heard from them that several of our listeners have gotten in touch with Todd and are doing great things. And that is PestSure.com for auto, workers' comp, general liability, and others. And if you're interested in joining a PMP Insider, Industry Insider peer group, please visit pmpindustryinsider.com/peer groups or go and listen to episode 136. For more information, there is actually a peer group meeting going on today and tomorrow that was established by this great podcast. And did I forget anything?
No, I just like the way you worded that. It made me laugh. This great, amazing, wonderful. Yeah, no, yes.
It no, is. By the way. Make me laugh.
Yeah. So I'll
go a little early and say, If you like what you hear, give us a like. If you don't like what you hear, write an email to me. Okay. So do you want to introduce the topic and the guest, or would you like
sure. to? No, I'll introduce it. It'd be great. Okay. So today, we're going to be talking about say this, not that, mastering phone calls. And we have a very special guest joining us today. It's Margaret Garcia, president of Grit PPO. Margaret is a seasoned professional with over 20 years experience in the pest control industry. During her career, she worked for one of the top 40 pest control companies in the Northeast region, where she held various roles and made significant contributions to the company's success. Margaret's experience spans across multiple areas, including sales, service, marketing, retention, and most importantly, the customer service experience. Her extensive knowledge and experience in these domains have helped her shape understand. Oh my gosh, my goodness, I can't read or talk, apparently. Her extensive knowledge and experience in these domains have helped shape her understanding of the pest control industry and its various aspects. Margaret, welcome to the podcast. I apologize for butchering your bio there at the end, but
boy, that sounded impromptu, Donnie.
Yeah. That's okay. We're gonna even talk about that today in today's topic.
Yeah. So I've known Margaret for probably most of those 20 years that she's been in the industry.
Absolutely.
So we worked together at the top 40 pest control company that she was at. So so this should be fun. So anyway,
well, hang on. Right. Whoa. Before we get into this, there is one thing that I think our audience should really know about our very special guest. So before we started recording, I read the title and I thought of a song by Black Sheep. And when she came on, we started talking about it, and she knew the lyrics, knew the song. Dan was out of the loop. And we are going to post this song.
It's not Southern Rock. And no. I don't really know about it.
No. Okay. So let's get into this. Margaret, welcome. Let's talk about what we should be saying and how we master these customer phone calls. Because I was looking at, as I was reading your bio, I was thinking about like all these things are important, right? You got to know sales. You got to understand marketing. You need to understand retention. And of course, if you pull it all down to that customer service experience, it all happens on the phone in the office. So let's jump into it.
Before you do, hold on. Let's talk about Grit Pro for 1 minute so that we understand what Margaret does with her time these days.
Got it. So yeah, so I'm owner and founder of Grit PPO. It's Grit Pest Process Outsourcing. And so we're an outsourced call center that's pretty much just dedicated to the pest control industry. I mean, tree and lawn, wildlife, right, Dan? My background in the industry has been pretty much in those areas. And so our team provides call support services to be able to handle just about everything. For some companies where they're overflow, or their after hours, their weekends, for some companies where they're everything. So it's just a fully trained, knowledgeable team in these industries and able to field calls. And one of the things that I think is really unique is really kind of our working relationship with all of the companies that we work with. We call them partners, not clients, just because it's, you know, us representing their brand and their passions as well. And when you work together as a team, you can build anything and you can fix anything. So we really believe in that kind of camaraderie when representing them.
Cool. Good deal. That's exciting. And I mean, hey, we are very aware that there's been other companies in the industry who have tried this. Some of which have been pretty successful, some which have not. So I'm really interested in getting into this and hearing how you guys do it and what you're doing. So let's start with kind of some basic questions, which is, let's talk about call flow. Can you just kind of provide a little bit of insight into that? And then like how that shows up in someone's office? Because I will tell you, for me personally, I very much care about what's going on in our call center, because it's the hub of every part of the business. I mean, everything touches the call center. I mean, our technicians, mm-hmm. our customers, our sales, like everything comes together there. So to me, if you want to get into a really bad spot quickly, it's when we don't pay attention to the office. So having said that, let's start with that first one.
Yes, I agree. The office is kind of the life of the company, because I mean, really for me, you'll hear me talk a lot about, you know, anytime I'm talking about this subject, that, you know, there's two crucial times in customer service that I think, you know, you have to be on point. The first time is when a customer calls into your organization, right? Their first impression of your company can also be, you know, their lasting. And the second time would be like if they're calling in when they're unhappy, which can also be their lasting impression. So all of that, right, happens when someone picks up the phone. I always say, like, you know, getting somebody to answer the phone is easy, but how you answer the phone is what your customers remember about your company and your brand. So things like a call flow is the same as any other, you know, SOP that you would create, any other standard operating procedure that you would potentially create if you want to execute something more efficiently, more productively. You know, it's the guidance for taking yourself or your call center's team members or anybody on the phone really just through that customer service problem solving process. So I think that most people don't realize, right, a call has a flow.
So do you have it printed and mapped out, or is it just something bullet points? How do you do that?
Yeah. I mean, like when you're answering your calls, you're starting all calls with an introduction. So an introduction is part of every phone call. So a good call flow is just kind of mind mapping it. Do you remember when you were in like elementary school and you'd learn to write an essay and you learned that an essay had an introduction, right? The body, the middle paragraph. That's how you just have to look at a call flow.
Hang on. Dan was in elementary school like 60 years ago.
Okay. I might be trying to pull too far back.
Learn how to write till I was in high school. So, all right.
I might be asking you to go too far back. Let me give you the Cliff Notes version, right?
When the wheel was square, that's when I
was. So think of a call flow as, you know, segments to the call. And a good call flow should have an introduction, right? The way that you answer the call, the way that you identify the caller or collect demographics. It should include problem solving, need-based solutions, asking probing questions so that you can get to those need-based solutions. And then just the wrap up, the way that you close the call. And so where things might shift or change might be in the part of the call that you call that presenting need-based solutions section, because we get different calls in the industry, right? You have a new customer calling in, or a current customer who needs a schedule, or a billing inquiry, or a complaint, meaning in that part of the call, when you're looking at this call flow as segments that go in order, things might go in a different direction, right? I might transfer the call or do something else with it.
Well, we're going to get to this a little bit later, but I kind of want to jump ahead because I think it's really important and it's applicable to what we're talking about when we talk about call flow, which is, I don't work in the office any longer, thank goodness. And I'm sure if anyone from my staff is listening, they're like, absolutely, he does not. But I remember years ago, we would have someone call in and they're like, just, they're bursting to tell me about what's going on. I mean, I had a time when the lady was telling me about she had snakes in her car and snakes in her oven, and that's a whole nother story. But point is like, I would answer the phone, and I realized early on we were totally messing up, which we'd say, hey, thanks for calling Triangle Pest Control. How may we help you? And we already made, like, I think in my mind, the biggest mistake, which is we didn't take control of the call immediately. Like, it was like, hey, we switched it to, thank you for calling, may I have your name? Right. I mean, it's like called trying to press over. We have your name, basically getting the person so that we could get what's really critical up front, because if we couldn't do that and take control of the call, then it was like, man, some of those calls would go like 40 minutes. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
They would go to get out there.
Yeah. The key to what you did there was that you removed the, how can I help you question? Right. Because when you introduce your call with the, how can I help you, you automatically give up control of the call. And now you're just listening to that person tell you how it is that they think you can help them. And nowadays, right, it's not like it was 10 years ago. The landscape for phone calls are different. People call in way more educated. They've Googled, they've Wikipedia'd. So there's a lot more, you know, to their explanations and them trying to make you feel and understand what it is that they need. So it was great that you just literally chopped off, how can I help you?
So let's talk about
I'm going to go off script totally for... Let's do a role play. Margaret, why don't you answer the phone? And Donnie, why don't you be the customer?
Everyone
I want
to
hear
loves
this.
To test. Everyone Ready? Always loves to
Let's
test.
Let's go. Ring, 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 ring. Yeah.
No.
And the fun thing is that every time you play mock call, which I encourage mock calls in your organization, because what I think I know to do and what I actually do when I open my mouth are always two different things. So I do encourage mock calls, but depending on the purpose of the mock call, because every time you get together with your teammates, they always want to be the difficult customer. They want to be the one that doesn't want to buy anything, wants to yell at you.
Not Donnie. He's buying everything.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, yeah. I do want to talk through, like, can you just walk through like how to do that effectively?
Yeah.
Like, cause I do see, and by the way, I put ourselves in this category. And when I say ourselves, I'm talking about Triangle. This is something that we have struggled with in you know, taking control of the call and really getting the data that we need out of it, because ultimately what we need is we need contact information up front, like an email and a phone number and a name, so that no matter what, if we don't close the lead, you know, we can at least follow up. And so can you just walk through like a really good way of, or a good method of doing, of taking control up front?
Yeah. So remember I mentioned, like, in this call flow, right, you've got these segments. So you've got your introduction. That's step number one. The most important thing about the call flow, like the design that I just mentioned, it's kind of universal. It works with any call scenario, I believe. But you've got an introduction. You've got, that's step number one. These things have to go in order for the reasons why you just mentioned. So step number one is you introduce your call. Step number two is that you either collect demographics or you confirm them, right? And that would be that new customer calling in or that current customer. Step number three would be that you ask probing questions. Step number four is that you present a need-based solution. And then step number five is you wrap up and close the call. So let's play this out, right? So if I were to pick up, I would say, you know, thank you for calling Triangle Pest. This is Margaret. So meaning, like, not leading my introduction right with that, how can I help you, means I'm in control. And when you don't open your call with that question, somebody calling in is almost, whether they're coming in hot and heavy, right, because they're upset about something or not, they're always going to get right to the point. Hi, Margaret, I'm calling because X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
So now think of this, you know, this kind of tennis match where the ball's bouncing back and forth. Now the ball's come back in your court. It's your turn to talk. And that's where I believe it belongs when it's a new consumer calling in for the very first time. I'm calling because, you know, I've ants in my kitchen and I'm looking for pricing on pest control. Well, let me get some basic information. We can go over your service options. And you got to go right into it. You got to go right into collecting those demographics. Right. And that's, you're prepping the person. You're saying, listen, I you got to give to get, right? Let me get some basic information. We can go over your service options. Mm-hmm. And that's where you start collecting demographics before you ask your questions. And then before you present those need-based solutions, because you're right, you're not going to potentially sell everything, but you do want those demographics because of your marketing spend, because of drip campaigns, because of, you know, being able to follow up with somebody later. So you want to collect them as the very next step.
So hang on. I want to piece of that just a little bit deeper. So thank you for calling Triangle Pest. And then what is the second phrase after that?
So so a caller is going to automatically tell you what they need, right? Hi, Donnie. I'm calling because I'm calling around getting pricing for pest control, or hi, I think I have bed bugs. You know, so they're always going to tell you what they need. And it doesn't matter what they say. You're going to lead with, okay, we can absolutely help you. You want that rapport building statement. You want to confirm you've come to the right place. And then you say, let me get some basic information and we can go over your service options. And it doesn't matter what those options are, right? Because again, step number four, presenting need-based solutions, it could mean I'm going to transfer this call to an alternate team member. I don't have to say that yet. I just said, let me get some basic information and go over your options.
Gotcha. And you're going to
get, you know, every time we talk about this in different sessions, people always say, you have people that, right, you've got the negative ones, the people that, why do I have to give you my information? Right? Why do I have to give you my phone number? Why do I have to give you my to get pricing for pest control? You're going to get that sometimes.
And how do you handle those? Because we do get those. And I mean, we have a process for that. But what do you do in those cases? What do you think is a good response in those cases?
So I find for myself, and I I've been talking on the phone for 20 years. So I find for myself that people have a two question threshold before they push back. That's just what I find. And so I'm very strategic about my two questions. Usually I start with, cause I've got my software open and I want demographics really. And so I will ask, my first two questions are always going to be, what's your street address and what's your zip code? Mm-hmm. Because if you've got a two question threshold, you're most likely to give me my first two. And you're right. I don't need your name and I don't need your phone number. In this day and age, I've got caller ID, but what I do want really is I want to know where you're calling from, because from a marketing perspective, I want to know that this is a bed bug call from zip code X, Y, you know what I mean? So if you've got that two question threshold, I'm usually going to get that before you push back at me.
Okay.
And then if the customer pushes back, you know, then you start leading with more structural questions, things that they can respect, you know? So if I say, what's your street address and what's your zip code? And you give that to me. And then I go, can I have a good contact number for you? Well, why do you need this information? I just want a price. Okay, well, tell me about the structure of the home. What's the square footage of it? Is this a single family home or multifamily? And now the person kind of lets their guard down a little bit.
Gotcha.
And so it's so just kind of phone finesse.
You're
going to
redirect him. Right. You're going to redirect him with an easier question or something.
Right.
But what if, something not personal. What if they don't want to give you their street address and zip?
And you're going to get those people, you're going to get consumers that don't want that. But so here's the thing. I never build my SOPs around the exceptions to the norm, right? I build everything around the norm. And a lot of this comes with, And a lot of just comes with tonality and personality. So if you're asking in a way that you're afraid to ask for it because you know they're frustrated, rather than with great tonality, great personality, you're going to get met with that. Right. It's like I always say, like, they can smell fear. Like, if you're like asking in a way that they don't want it, they're going to push back. So if I'm just picking up kind of happy peppy, you know, let me get some basic information. And I kind of describe it when I teach it. It's like my my daughter, when we go into the grocery store, right? I'm good up until I get to the register and here comes that candy aisle. So I'm like, I'm moving quick. I'm trying to grab her and go. And that's what you want that sentiment to say. If I say, let me get some basic information and we can go over your service options, don't wait for the yes, okay, that sounds great. No, what's your street address? What's your zip code? Right. Like, make them feel like you're going to make this quick and painless. It's the pausing and then the going slow. And sometimes we start to, you know, make people repeat themselves when they don't hear because you're not actively listening. And that's where you're going to get that resistance.
Right. One of the things, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. One of the things that we would say early on is we'd get their name and then we'd say, can we have your phone number just in case we get disconnected? Which was total. I mean, we never really got disconnected, but we would say that just to make it like, okay, you know, like, but we would do that even before we would ask what their issue was. It was like name, phone number, and then, okay, you know, what's your issue or whatever. And I forgot how we phrase it. I have to go back and look at our call script for that. But
yeah,
but very, very good stuff. But I do agree with you. And I think call control is extremely important because it would prevent, you know, these 40-minute phone calls that could be done probably in 7 to 8 minutes properly controlled. So, okay. So you got into something I thought was really, really interesting, which is the tonality of the call. How can you, and I mean, I think this is really important. How do you manage or get our CSRs to manage their emotions when they're on a call? Because, you know, I know this doesn't happen for most of our customers. I'm sure it doesn't happen with you in a call center, but we do have occasionally sometimes calls that someone's really pissed off, right? And I've seen some of our CSRs that handle that very well because they never jump in the pool with them. And then I've seen others who've legitimately had to transfer the call because they just could not handle that. So can you just talk through, like, how do you teach a CSR? Like, how do you handle the emotions both good and bad, right? Yeah. I mean, in your case where you talked about sales and getting someone really, really comfortable with you, but then also the person who's, you know, they're out in left field and they're super pissed off and they're ready to, like, you know, they just want to yell at you. Can you talk through that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to tie into call control, right? Because even in your introduction, you're going to let somebody obviously tell you what it is that they need. And then you want that reassurance that you're here to help. I mean, I think it's also a little bit of a cultural aspect, right? When you're bringing new team members on and you're teaching them what it means to be in this industry, you have to teach them from day one that you're in an industry that deals with emotionally, right, charged phone calls. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to be the type of person that can sit in the seat and just remove yourself from that. And don't get me wrong, I mean, there's ways to handle, you know, I get asked a lot, you know, if somebody's cursing at me, what would be the best verbiage, you know, and you want to say something like, you know, like I want to help you, but your language is getting in the way. Right. It's something that, and then also, you know, not being intentional about using your voice as a tool, meaning if you're, you know, bringing your volume down, because, right, you know, there's aspects to vocal communication. There's pace, there's tonality, and there's also volume. So volume, you would want to be high if you're on a sales call because you want to, right, evoke mm-hmm. confidence.
You want the energy. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But if somebody's yelling at me, I want to bring it down and be controlled, because if I talk slow and they keep talking over and loud, right, they're going to hear themselves.
Right.
And then there's just, you know, kind of the usage of, like, brain food words, you know, strategic usage of things like I'm sorry versus I apologize, right? Just the way that you kind of use those words matter on a phone call as well when somebody's upset.
Gotcha.
What's the difference between I'm sorry and I apologize?
So, I'm sorry, right, is it's empathy. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry. Right. We have people that call in, my husband died, my this happened, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. Right. Versus I apologize, where I apologize would be something that we take ownership. Right. I apologize. Mm-hmm. The technician didn't lock the gate. I apologize. We missed the appointment. So it's just about being intentional with the words. And even for somebody who's upset, I mean, you want to still execute call control. I think so much of customer service is thinking that we just need to let the customer go on and on and on. For it to be good customer service.
So what are some of those words to avoid? Or I think you had some forbidden phrases. Let's talk about that. I am skipping around, but I thought that was a good segue.
There's five forbidden phrases in customer service, right? Doesn't matter what industry you're in. There's you don't want to say no, right? You don't want to lead with negative, you know, words. You don't want to say, I don't know. It would be, you'd replace that with, like, that's a good question. You know, let me look into that. Hang on a sec is another one that you don't want to use, because it's never really going to be a second. You want to ask people, right, if they have time to hold. This is, you know, prevalent in our industry when we pick up sometimes and we might put somebody on hold without asking and waiting for the answer. You'll have to should be replaced with you'll want to, like you'll want to go online and access your customer portal. And mm-hmm. we don't, right? You don't want to say what you can do. You always want to see what you can do.
Right. That's so, yeah. As you're talking here, we used to use a book called Super Service to train our CSRs. I don't know if you've ever heard of that book. It's a really old book, but what's a good way to train CSRs on? Because this is actually a lot. And I think to train a CSR really, really well, it's not the let's go sit with whomever for, mm-hmm. for a couple of days. And even like what we're giving kind of high pass, but things that you're talking about, I mean, that's some pretty in-depth training. What are some good resources that folks that are listening, they're like, okay, I really do want to get better in our call center. What would you recommend?
I mean, well, we do customer service training as well. That's something that we do. And we teach these kind of things, especially in an industry where words are brain food and they contribute to call control. And by that, I mean, it's important to teach these things. Like, you know, we don't say chemical, we say material. We don't say, you know, spray, we say treat or application. Those things tie into call control.
So just to be clear, you guys do call outsourcing, but you also do call training?
Yep. We're absolutely a full industry partner. If you're not utilizing us, you know, for call support, we can definitely help make your team, you know, a little bit more polished and professional in what you're doing.
Do you do it by the firm, or do you have general classes where you invite a bunch of people in?
Currently, we've been doing it by the firm, but there's been such an interest that we're probably going to be looking to do it, you know, just kind of in a universal way that things can apply to everybody and have maybe cohorts.
Wow, nice. That's great.
These are actually, you're right. These are, you know, from doing the trainings that I have done and asking team members that are on the phones, whether they're doing inside sales or customer service, really the two pieces of resources that everyone said they wish they had as a new CSR would be the words to say, like what to say, how to ask, you know, about certain pest issues. Like we teach, you know, certain questions go with certain pests. Like ants, are they large? Are they small? Maybe roaches, colors, bed bugs, you know, have you traveled recently? Like just things that the great thing about this industry is that, you know, it's predictable. We already know what the call, you said, like, you know, you've probably never gotten this angry call, right? Everybody's gotten that angry customer,
right?
It's like, you've probably never gotten this call, Donnie, not at Triangle, right? Where the customer calls in and says like those infamous words, like you guys were just here. No. You don't hear those kind of calls, right? Your guy was just here. And I don't think he used anything because he made it worse. I think he sprayed with water or he was just here for 5 minutes. Right.
Right.
Yep. You're all the way across. And you, so the great thing about it is that we can predict what the calls are going to be about. That means that we can control how we react, how we respond, and how to make it a more, you know, meaningful interaction. And so that's the best part about being able to do this training, is that it's universal for everybody.
So what you're saying is if someone called me, I should say, well, I can kill your ants with a bunch of chemicals by spraying once you sign a contract. Is that?
Yes.
Is that,
if you want to stay on the phone for another 15 minutes explaining what you're going to spray with, what you're going to treat, why do I have to sign a contract?
I have a spot tomorrow at 10:30. Are you going
to
be there?
So let's talk through, like, okay, so we obviously know those are bad words. How do you say those words differently? Can you just talk through that?
Yeah.
So I say contract, kill, chemical spray. Again, right. I hear those a lot. And by the way, I think this is sorely needed for the industry. I'm super excited about what you're doing because, you know, we shop our competition, obviously, and I'm appalled at sometimes when we listen to what is said. I'm like, man, you know, sometimes I think, man, we suck. And then, by the way, we're not great. I don't want to make it. But then I listen to some other folks. I'm like, man, well, you know, it's like watching Jerry Springer, right? Anyone can feel better after watching an episode of that. I don't know. But you know, sometimes I hear what they're saying. I'm like, man, they're like, well, we're going to kill this. And you say, okay, well, that's all. And they're like, okay. And they never grab my information. So can you just talk through like words that should be used and how that should be handled?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, here's the thing, a lot of industry people use these words, and it's not that it's, you know, harmful. It's not that you couldn't navigate a phone call successfully. This is just a more polished, you know, kind of way of doing it. And I think that these words kind of contribute to that call control, because again, if you say you're going to come out and spray something, well, words are brain food. So here's the thing about, you know, words being brain food, and you know this from personal things, right? We know certain things to say to kind of get under somebody's skin, right? Or we know that capacity to do that. So, you know, what you say and the words you choose to kind of describe something, they automatically cause a response, a reaction, an emotion. So if I say I'm going to come out and, you know, and spray, well, more than likely you're going to get asked, what are you spraying with? As opposed to if I say I'm going to come out and treat, or we're going to come out and apply, I'm just less likely. So it's not that you won't, but it's just less likely. So words that you want to replace that are kind of, you know, I don't like to say free. I like to say things are no charge because it implies that it has value. I don't like to say kill. I would say control. Don't say never, say usually. Chemical replaced with material, contract replaced with agreement, right? Don't say we're going to send out a salesman. Say we're going to send out, you know, a field inspector. You know, one of the ones in the industry that we are all kind of prone to is the guys, the gals, right? Call the guys. I'm going to send my guy out, as opposed to saying technician, which implies, right, more formal training, right? That's a hard one for everybody to get over.
We're going
to
send the boys out. I love it.
Yeah.
That's so true. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So let's talk through, like, so are you a fan of call scripts? Like, you know, for us, yeah. We, this is an outdated software, so I hate to even bring it up, but we used to use a software called CallScripts, and a lot of this stuff was kind of baked in. And I don't know, for some reason, I get a lot of pushback on that. We would, but the data would show when someone was new and they were on script, they were closing, like they were selling, right? And it's over time, folks would like, they'd get experience and they would get knowledgeable.
Yeah.
They come off the script, and sure enough, you start watching their close rate and it start coming down. So what's your take on call scripts?
Yeah. I still use call scripts. I mean, people look at me like it's a dirty word. It's not like, you know, like the word scripting is like a dirty word, you know, and it's not. It's literally guidance. And it's 100%, you know, how you can ramp up a new employee very quickly. It's just the perception behind something being scripted is not the scripting, it's the delivery of it. And so when you're lacking knowledge or practice on it, it's automatically going to come out sounding scripted. So, but here's the trick.
You mean like your bio when we started this?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Because you've never seen it before. But so here's the trick with that,
just,
right?
If you want anybody who wants to be on our podcast in the future, just realize that Donnie does not prepare.
So here's right. That's why I said we were going to talk about this later, because there's two things about that, right? One, there's practice. And that's why I was saying so many people don't take the time to practice, and to practice something like when it comes to sales, like your programs, that should be scripted, right? Maybe something like we talked about, generalized questions for certain pests, like termites, are their wings falling off? It's got to be a knee jerk reaction. They say this and I know to say that. And so it takes 21 days to form a new habit. So the same, you know, the same thing about things like scripting, things in your organization, whether it be certain ways that you respond to sales calls or explain programs, you have to do it the same way every single time. It's got to be like what I call like that one-way protocol. There's only one way that you explain it. And so the way that you get around sounding scripted is that once you know what you're going to say, that's where you get to play with your tonality. So I already know the words that I'm going to say. And so that's where my tone and my inflection can change, and I can sound more personable, and I can make more meaningful interactions. But there's nothing wrong with having that guidance.
Gotcha. No, I agree 100%. So
very interesting. Very interesting.
Okay. We're getting towards the end here. And I actually want to give you the opportunity to talk a little bit more about your company, about what you do. And for our listeners, we will put her company notes up. The gals, should I say that? No,
and she'll send her guys out to training.
And she'll send her boys. No, but seriously, I do want to hear, I want to give you just a little bit of time to talk about your company, talk about what you do. For our listeners, we're going to put a link to her website up on the show notes page. So if you have questions about that, we're absolutely going to put the video up that you can sing along as you listen to the podcast. And I think in the end, we'll finish out. So Margaret, take it away. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing, and how people can learn more if they're interested in learning more from you.
Yep, absolutely. So as I mentioned, right, we're an outsourced call center. We're dedicated to the pest control industry. So, you know, having access to that team that already understands, you know, the right way to set expectations when it comes to, you know, treatment methods, when it comes to preparing for a treatment or just securing sales opportunities. I mean, we're doing that with these things in mind, using words that are brain food, words that create impulses to buy and close and secure things. So we're just doing the same interactions that everybody's doing in a more strategic way, and in a way that, you know, allows us to, you know, get on the phone and off the phone in a timely fashion. And so we're looking to give companies, you know, that that help with that seasonal swing in call volume. Or again, for some companies, we're just their everything and they don't have the need of that brick and mortar because they've got that call support. So there's pretty much nothing that we can't handle. The way that we explain our services is it's a muscle. My entire team has it. Whether or not you want them to flex is up to you.
So my company signs up with you. I'm either on Pest Pack or Pest Routes, you're scheduling calls, or, you know, one of the others. So
we don't work with,
we
actually don't work with APIs and integrations. We function directly in everyone's software. We occupy a user license. Again, we're trying to be a true extension of your company and give that first call resolution service. So everything's done in your own environment. So everyone on my team knows.
And I've been working
software
with PestPack for a very long time. And when I met Margaret over 20 years ago, she was too. So she knows PestPack inside and out, I'm sure.
Good. All right. Website. Where do they go to learn more?
The website is www.gritppo.com. So gritppo.com.
Love it. Awesome. Well, Margaret, this has been fantastic. It's been a ton of fun chatting with you. I would expect nothing less considering your line of work. Dan, anything before we wrap up here?
No, I think that that's it. Like I said, I've known Margaret for quite a while, and she's always been pretty successful at what she does. And it's definitely worth exploring. And I didn't realize that you're training people who, just CSRs. I think that what a great service that is.
A
So
very
really
needed one for
excited to have
sure.
you here.
Very needed.
Absolutely. It's definitely one of the things that I feel like, for myself being in that seat for so long, it's kind of like giving back. I mean, it's not something that if you ever asked a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? Do they say, I want to be a customer service rep and, have
They
really
say, I want
high
to be a pest control
expectations for,
technician.
Yeah, I mean, they might say I want it to play with bugs, but never this seat. And so we're looking to kind of, treat it like a skill set, like a craft, like something that everybody can be proud of in what they do and kind of that phone finesse that they're doing.
Love it.
Awesome.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, just a reminder, all the resources and topics that we talked about today are going to be available on the podcast website, pmpindustryinsider.com. Just take a look under show notes. And as Dan mentioned at the beginning, we always appreciate any positive reviews that you have and any complaints or concerns, of course, send it to Dan. And with that, we're going to sign off. We'll see you all next time. Take care.
See ya.
Bye now.
Bye.